are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
God of summer, whose gifts are sunshine to brighten our lives and storms to keep them green, we turn to you in gratitude for this season. Help us to relax and make the most of its warmth and beauty, to store away the memories of summer that help sustain us through winters yet to come. We are grateful for times and places to enjoy ourselves, parks and gardens, beaches and swimming pools, mountains and woodlands. Whether we seek peace and solitude or good company and noisier pursuits, help us to let go of our frantic busyness and find peace in the summertime. That was from Cliff Reid, British Unitarian Minister. I do welcome you all today. It's so lovely to have you here. It's so lovely to see you today, a small but very special group. And I hope you had a very, very happy Christmas. We acknowledge that this is the country of the Kaurna people, who lived here for thousands of years before European settlement. We respect their spiritual connection to their land. Welcome to our service this morning. We maintain the tradition of generations of Unitarians who have worshipped in Adelaide for over 160 years. I am Janet Whittam, a member of the congregation, and together with Peter, my husband, we will be leading the service this morning. I'm going to talk to you about a book that I have written. The book is called An Amazing Woman, and it's about a woman by the name of Margaret Lurline Davy. And no, she is not the woman who is a medical doctor, because some of you would know Margaret Davy of that name, I'm sure. Anyway, I wrote a book about this remarkable woman over a couple of decades. It was my intent to talk about her life with you today. But as I began to draw my thoughts together, I realised I had written about the lives, albeit in a much shorter form, of many others who worked with Margaret and brought to life her many creative ideas. And this is exciting in many different ways. Now, rather than trying to invent the wheel, I shall read to you from the introduction of the book. I met, or more correctly knew of, Margaret when I joined the Adelaide Young Women's Christian Association, which is the YWCA, in 1965, it was a long time ago, as a 21-year-old trainee youth worker. Margaret at that time was president of the YWCA. In the years that I knew Margaret, I perceived her to be a creative woman with initiative and ability to encourage others to work with her many projects. Margaret was extremely civic-minded, a trait no doubt instilled in her by forebears in the Shannon, Davy and Peacock families. From these families, who had settled in the early years of the new colony of South Australia, came men and women who involved themselves in civic affairs. In later years, Dr. Davy, Margaret's father, became mayor of St. Peter's, the area in which the family lived and where Dr. Davy had his surgery. He also served on many other committees and boards. Margaret was strong, determined, generous, and hospitable. interested in other people, and very competent. While many benefited from Margaret's abilities, pursuit of goals, and ideologies, some colleagues in the organisations in which she was involved found her not an easy woman to work with. This is understandable when one considers the calibre and strength of women working in the community organisations in the 50s and 60s. And of course, they were women who married, and if they had been educated at university, they were unable to continue with their professions. So they were wonderful in the community. As a younger woman, I found Margaret's story to be an extremely rich one. I determined that her story should be recorded. It is a vibrant part of South Australian history. I recorded much of what follows in direct conversation with Margaret in the years 2002 to 2006, with a lovely cup of coffee and some very nice afternoon teas. Margaret was born in Lora in the mid-north of South Australia on the 6th of November 1915. Her father, Lawrence Llewellyn Davey, had graduated in medicine in 1914 and moved with his new bride, Doris Peacock, to Lora to start a medical practice. And once again, we have a woman who was highly trained in music and a very fine singer and would have loved to have gone on to be professional in that area, but she became the wife of Dr. Davey. Dr. Davey drove a one-seater Model T Ford, and Margaret remembered many stories associated with this form of family conveyance. The trip from Lora to Adelaide would take all day. Now takes 2.5 hours. Dr. Davey drove the Model T. He built a small wooden seat to fit across his wife's knees. Margaret and her brother Jeff sat on this while the younger sister Jean sat on her mother's lap. I'm not quite sure how that all works. You'll have to think about that one yourselves. They nearly always got a puncture, which took half an hour to repair. Working with a blacksmith from Lora, Dr. Davey invented a tyre, which was much more reliable. Dr. Davey died in 1991 at the age of 102. Mrs. Davey in 1998, aged 98. Dr. Davey was the oldest old scholar of PAC. Some earlier history. Margaret's mother. Doris Peacock's ancestors trace back to Captain Tobias Furneaux, who was an explorer, some of his work being with Captain James Cook. It was great-grandfather Peacock who married Jane Furneaux, Tobias's niece. He was a lawyer, and he and Jane emigrated to Adelaide in 1841. Their son, Margaret's grandfather, became the Under-Secretary of the State. And for those of us in this church who remember John Dowie very well, his painting up there, John was in actual fact part of the Peacock family. So Adelaide was a small united group. Let me read to you a little bit about Dr. Davey's family. You won't be asked to answer questions after this. Dr. Davey's mother's family, the Shannons, came from Northern Ireland. They were a pioneer family, with two brothers arriving in Adelaide, Abraham in 1839 and David in 1841. Margaret was proud of the fact that they arrived in the very early days of the colony. William Shannon, the father, also arrived in 1841, his boat put into Mauritius. At the son's request, he continued on to Australia with his second wife, Mary Moore. William's first wife, Catherine Wallace, died of tuberculosis in Ireland. David was Margaret's great-grandfather. Margaret's great-great-grandfather, William, built a mausoleum at Macolta for the family, north of Anguston. The Shannons became farmers. David Shannon had a very large property between Truro and Kapunda. He had two sons by his first marriage and five children by his second. Margaret's grandmother, Sarah, was the eldest in this group of five. She married Arnold Davey and was Dr. Davey's mother. So that's the Davies and the Shannons. The Davey family came from Penzance, Cornwall. They travelled on the Trafalgar, arriving in Adelaide in 1849. Two branches of the family travelled on this vessel, that of Margaret's great-grandfather and of her great-grandmother, the two being first cousins. The fathers of these two families were brothers, Thomas and John Davy. Thomas had six children, the youngest of whom was Edwin, Margaret's great-grandfather. John came with his wife, Sarah Vingo. The Vingo line can be traced back to Norman times. This is exciting. It is thought that they were wine tasters for William the Conqueror. It's lucky that they continued on. John and Sarah had seven children, Phyllis being the fourth. At the time of arrival in Adelaide, Edwin was 9 years old and Phyllis 3 years older. Margaret remembered Phyllis well. She was in her late teens when her great-grandmother died. Let me just read a little weeny bit about great-grandfather Edwin Davy and his wife. Phyllis had nine children. Margaret's grandfather Arnold, born in 1862, being the eldest. Thomas and John's families became flour millers. They built their first mill at Davyston near Kapunda. And if we'd put up photographs, I would have loved to have shown you, there's just a photograph here, of the Davyston post office, which is still up there. We actually took a photograph of it so it could be put into the book. Anyway, the mill deteriorated and a new mill was built in Angaston. It can still be seen because this mill now stands as a tourist attraction. Another mill was built by great-grandfather Edwin at Udunda. Arnold was sent to manage this mill. It was at this time that Arnold met and married Sarah Shannon. So there you are, it all links up. Now, Margaret's family moved to Adelaide when Margaret was six, into the family home, Alcantara, on Paynham Road, St. Peter's, and it is still there. You can see it when you turn into Paynham Road from where? Port Rush Road? Stephen Terrace, yes. And it's a large white building there. Margaret's granny, who had been living in the house, moved into a smaller home across the road. Margaret's father set up his medical practice in the large home. And this was Margaret's home until she was in her early 90s. I remember there was a big storm and the cellar was flooded and the kitchen was damaged. And Margaret rebuilt a small kitchen at the end of the back veranda. She was a very creative woman. She attended a local school, Poltoonga, and then became a student at Girton, an independent girls' school in Kensington, as we know. Margaret would have liked to have studied medicine, but she was not encouraged to do this. Oh no, you just marry and have children. But she never did. She commenced science, majoring in biology. The coming of the Second World War and an illness meant that Margaret did not complete her degree. However, as Margaret had completed 3 years of biology study, she was accepted as a demonstrator for medical students, a position she held for 21 years. It was during this time that Margaret's creative skills were called into play. It was not possible to access models of body parts, for example, hearts, from Czechoslovakia because of the war. So Margaret was asked to model them all out of clay. I'm not sure where they are at the moment. I know at one stage they were in an exhibition which was of Margaret's family clothing, and I think also those models were there in the Migrant Museum. I don't know where they are at the moment. Margaret became interested in doing community work. In her own words, "My family had always been involved in this area. During my father's time as mayor of St. Peter's, my mother was involved with Minda, Mothers and Babies, and so on. I automatically, because of the family's involvement in community work, became involved also." Thus began a 24-year involvement with the YWCA, mostly with the Adelaide Association. Committee work, fundraising, member of the board, president of the association. During her time of office, Margaret attended many international conferences. In fact, she travelled the world widely. Established Alice Springs YWCA Hostel and investigated the potential for the YWCA in Port Moresby. Margaret was an exceptionally creative woman, coupled with an incredible strength of personal ability. She also was a woodcarver. She painted porcelain, and you will hear later, very creative with ideas for the community. Now, I'd like to read from something that Miss Myra Lillywhite, who was president of the Adelaide YWCA 1975 to 1979, who compiled information about the festivals that Margaret was the creative person behind, based on her recollections of Margaret. I know Myra. She's a life member of the YWCA. Her expertise lay in the field of finance and fundraising, and her very special contribution was through the organisation of a variety of festivals, and some of you here will know these festivals, I'm sure. It was at a meeting with the then executive director, Estelle Burnell, exploring ways of raising funds to pay off the debt on Holiday House, which was a house that the YWCA actually owned up in the hills, and presumably they were in debt. It was a Holiday House. The seed was sown for the Christmas tree festivals. There had been some discussion about the different ways trees were decorated in Germany, and this sparked the idea for a Christmas tree festival. Margaret immediately enlisted the support of the president, Dr. Beryl Bowring, whom I knew, and the board of the YWCA, family and friends, as well as a number of influential people in Adelaide. And the best ever Christmas tree festival in Adelaide was held in the town hall over a 3-day period in December in the early 1950s. The first festival was a spectacular sight, and the crowds flocked to Adelaide Town Hall to see this unique display. One evening, there was such a crowd that Dorothy Ockenden, who was the executive director's secretary, had to close the doors because of the fire risk, and people queued along King William Street to Pirie Street, awaiting their turn to be admitted. It was a great success and was repeated 4 more times in the Adelaide Town Hall and in the YWCA Hall, which was a wonderful building on Pennington Terrace. Another fast festival, which ran for several years, was the Nativity Festival held in Kent Town Wesleyan Jubilee Church. Margaret was a member of this church. She was in the choir for 68 years. This was the most amazing festival. There were several more themed festivals, all attracting huge, delighted crowds. The notable aspect of all the festivals was the enthusiastic assistance of so many different individuals and groups from the community, plus family, friends, and members. The Christmas Tree Festival. These are the people who helped. Girl Guides, Red Cross, National Council of Women, CWA, Elizabeth Simpson had a tree there. Nativity Festivals, Harmony Choir, members of the YWCA, the Adelaide Repertory. Reverend Carl Waters, who some of you might remember the name of, was the Archangel Gabriel, and he stood on a box up on the balcony, and he did say to Margaret, "This isn't particularly safe, Margaret." I think OH&S was not as well followed in those times. I think it would have been safer if he'd stayed with his day job, which was the chaplain of PAC. There was a street festival in Olive Grove, Hazelwood Park. That was amazing, with all of the houses decorated, and down the middle were stalls, and at the end was a platform where the police band actually performed at night. Margaret was amazing at getting all of these people to become a part of her creative ideas. Margaret was always there, working diligently, a leader from within. She was the one who dyed the fabric and made the costumes, for example, for the angels in the Nativity Festival. Margaret volunteered her time and expertise to many community organisations, the National Council of Women, Girton Old Scholars, Wansley Emergency Home for Children, the list is long. She died in 2010 at the age of 95. She can indeed be counted as one of our state's greats. The book, This An Amazing Woman, is for sale. We take some of it to cover publishing and printing, and $10 is for Heart Kids, because my daughter's Oldest child, our grandson is indeed a heart kid. So there is a book, you can look at any of the books, but there's some hand sanitizer next to it, so sign of the times. My warmest thanks go to my husband Peter for his good humour, support and encouragement in the preparation and writing of Margaret's story. With a smile on my face, I also thank him for his very diligent editing of the text, the taking of photographs, and occasionally unravelling of information when it mysteriously entangled itself on the laptop. I will finish with some words from the acknowledgements. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each one's joy is joy to me. Each one's grief is my own. We need one another, so I will defend each man as my brother, each man as my friend.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.